Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Christopher Scott, and I'm here with Bertrand Domecq from the Consejo Regulator. You're the president of the, we'll call you the CRDO.
The Denomination of Origin of Sherry, yes.
Hareth, you're the president of that, and we're going to taste a load of sherries. I've got them in front of me. There's 8 glasses. Not all of them are sherry. I know that because I had a quick sniff earlier. So shall we go through these and see what you've got?
Well, if you start from left to right, which are, as they are numbered, no, you have to go from right to left. So a sample number one, as you see, is a pale colored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a straw, yellow straw. Color is clean and brilliant. You will smell it, and it's basically a white wine.
Yeah, it smells
White wine. It's a white wine produced from the Palomino grape.
It smells a little bit like an Albarino, actually. I know it's not, but
you're associated with Albariza, no? The Albariño. No? It's a Moorish name again. So this is the wine that we use for the production of the drier sherries, and this. Funnily enough, this is what we call in our area, until it's fortified, we call it mosto, which is must, which is wrongly named,
yep.
Evidently, because it's a wine. All the sugars have been converted into alcohol. Nose-wise, it's a very neutral type of grape, Palomino. It's naturally an over-matured grape.
Over-matured.
Over-matured. It's had the most terrific temperatures in the month of July and August.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's a golden grape, very golden. And that golden grape will have a high sugar content, but a very low acidity.
Mm.
We don't have malic acid, as you know, more northern areas have. We don't have malolactic fermentation, no malic acid, it's all tartaric.
Yeah.
So this is the wine we have here. It's fresh, refreshing, it's got some primary aromas, but very little.
Yeah, it's not a massively aromatic. You wouldn't call it an aromatic grape variety.
Not very much.
Just on that, you mentioned malic acid coming from the northern climates. Is that true that you only because you notice malic acid in the more the green appley type flavors, but you don't necessarily. And I always associate it with cooler climate, but I've never actually. No one's ever said malic acid is more of a cool climate type of.
Yes,
acid.
Because basically, what happens in our case is that it's over-matured grape.
Mm.
Over-matured grape is it's been going through very strong summers, hot, and so on. And the malic acid had been consumed by the grapes. So it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So that there is a certain amount of malic acid, but very small. Normally converted into lactic during the normal fermentation by a certain amount of bacteria that are there. But anyway. But as I say, this wine is zero content of sugar and totally dry.
I noticed on the mouth when I had a wee taste of it, it tastes a little bit phenolic. It's got not almost like this had a little bit of skin contact or something going on in there.
There's a certain amount of skin contact. In this case, possibly little, because normally in the vinification process, it's the typical vinification process of a white wine. So we are trying to separate the juice of the grape as quickly as possible with the minimum pressure. That will mean that possibly 65% of the juice is free-run juice with a minimum pressure of 1 kilo.
Yeah.
And then the rest is extracted with more powerful pressure, up to 4 kilos, and you obtain naturally a wine which has more polyphenolic compounds, more skin contact, and naturally that will give you a more strong, structured wine.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically this is the wine that we would take as what we call the base wine to start our dry sherries.
Yeah, okay.
So then this wine is, we will be classifying them in the two big groups of sherries after fermentation process. Normally we're speaking about the month of November, December.
Mm-hmm.
We're classifying each and one of the butts or tanks that have fermented.
Yeah, is it in stainless steel or oak?
I remember when I started many years ago, I can't tell you the years, but we used to ferment in butts.
Yep.
Totally. Then in the 70s, mid-70s, we started using fermenting tanks, stainless steel, which are the best, which had temperature control. We could even control our fermentation process, so it's really technical. And we did really good quality since then. Then once these, as I say, we separate in the after fermentation into two big groups. This wine, after a fermentation process, will start growing on the surface a film of white yeast that forms this film.
Yeah.
This yeast, it comes from the grape.
Okay. Normally it's the, is that that white bloom that you see on the side of grapes?
Yeah, Morris, yeah, you have them. And although we use selected yeast, but the yeast, fermentation process is a very complex process in which normally the dominating yeast, in our case, we want it to be the ones that form this film. So all of them will be forming the film. But we will separate those wines which are more delicate, and we will call them in the future phenos, from those wines which are less, more structured, with more body, which we will call olorosos.
And what drives that? Is it the climate, the region, just
lots
luck?
Of things. The pagos, the district where you come from. It'll mean the vinification process, how it's being done, how much skin contact or separation, pressure, etc., fermentation. All these factors are very important. So when we separate those two big groups, as you know, we have a wine which has between 12 and 13% alcohol. But as you know, sherries is a fortified wine because of this 1,000-year instrument the Moors told us about, which was distillation.
Okay.
When we've separated the two qualities, as I mentioned, the factor more delicate from more structure, we will fortify with wine spirit up to 15 for the ones we find delicate for biological aging, phenos and manzanillas, or we fortify to 17% alcohol for so that we obtain the olorosos. Below 16%, we will have floor yeast. Above 60%, we have no floor yeast.
Normal wine yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, can't survive when the alcohol normally gets to about 15.5 degrees or higher. So, again, it's exactly the same. It's just alcohol's a poison to the yeast, is it?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if we go into deepness, which we don't want to, but, I mean, we have four strains of yeast that form film on the surface of the wine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they have a very special effect on the wine. Anyhow, once we fortified them to 15 or to 17, we will then put them into the butts, the American oak butts. And
yep.
We will keep them as vintages. They will be kept for vintage, as vintage wines. But as you know, we don't sell vintage sherry.
No.
Or sometimes we do, but some we could sell.
And the vintage sherry, they're called Soberitara?
Soberitabla is a name given to the wine when it's just been fortified.
Yep.
And that's it. But normally you call them as a vintage.
Okay.
2014 or 2013 vintage. Now, the ones that are biological age will be kept as vintages for 1 to 2 years, not more, before they are reselected or reclassified to go into what we call the Solera system. And the Olorosos will be kept from 2 to possibly 8 years, depending on what Solera system they're going to. So we keep as vintages a number of years.
Oh, okay.
And then it goes into what we call the Solera system. It's an aging system in which wine goes through different stages of aging and until it gets to its final stage. But evidently that is a very complex mixture of vintages because we are taking out, let's say, a 25% of the Solera and replenishing with a 25% of the Primera Criadera, first nursery, and the second nursery to the first nursery and so on, until it comes to the last, where you are filling with the vintage one. Normally, each Solera system will have its own rotation, and normally each Solera system will receive, in the last scale, wines coming from a specific pago, or a specific district, Maternudo, Carrascal, Añina, Balbaina, whatever. And so we always follow the same pattern, so as to obtain an even quality and the final product.
Okay, so just clarify that. Solera system has its own region that the wines come from. So a bodega may have 5, 6, 10 Soleras running at the same time.
Yeah, but they will be different in each case because it'll depend what soledas, what type of sherries they're going into.
And how many layers and how long they're in those layers for?
Exactly, rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, we are going to be tasting wines here, which will range from 4 to 5 years to 30 or 40 years, mm-hmm. which we have here. So it's and that, naturally, each soleda system will have its own rotation. So if you like, we go on tasting from right to left. Sample number 2 is a manzanilla, a full-grown manzanilla, which will be 4 to 5 years old.
So it's like a fino, but from San Luca.
But from San Luca de Barrameda, which is very delicate and has a totally different character. But you have to think that it comes from one. Sample number 1, which is the base wine, mm-hmm. base wine, which is 45 to 15. So you have these very pale color, again, because it's covered by this floor yeast that doesn't permit the oxidation of the wine. So it's totally yellow, straw-colored. It's clean. The aroma has got this pungent character due to this metabolism of the floor yeast. You have to think that the finos and manzanillas are the effect of two things. One of them, that they are aging in American oak butts, very seasoned. And secondly, the effect of this yeast on the surface that has a very specific metabolism. This yeast has the effect of, first of all, it consumes alcohol from the wine, which mm-hmm. is what it produced beforehand during fermentation process, but it lives on alcohol. And at consuming alcohol, it produces a very special component, which is responsible for this special aroma, which is acetaldehyde, mm-hmm. which is this very volatile substance, which gives you this aroma of green apple.
I was going to say more yeasty, of a, yeasty apple-y, smell, but
apple-y. And it's a very special aroma.
People often describe it sometimes smelling of almonds, but I never think it smells. Yeah, I never get it smelling of almonds. I think apple's quite a good one, actually. It doesn't, for me, it's more of a red apple than a green apple, but that's all right.
I've been given 4 apples, English apples, today to find out which one is more appropriate.
Okay, and which one did you go for?
I haven't tasted them yet.
Okay.
And additionally to that, there's something which is missing here, and that is acetic acid. And that is a very important factor.
Yeah.
Finos and manzanillas are the wines with lowest acetic acid, or lowest volatile acidity that exist. That's why I will try to explain to you that these wines are the perfect combination to eat with anything that's got vinegar, because it has this complementary effect.
You're
having a salad with vinaigrette, or you're having a gazpacho that's got vinegar, or anything that's got vinegar. There's no wine in the world which will be able to match adequately, but finos and manzanillas do it to perfection.
I always think of salted almonds to go with fino. That's always, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, because salt is something that goes into the effect. Then sample number 3 is a fino.
Mm-hmm.
Sample number 3 is a fino, which differs from the manzanilla in that it possibly has a bit more of body, more structure. The case of manzanilla has had a very strong biological aging, which will give wine possibly a more pungent smell and possibly a body which is less structured than the fino. Fino gives you more body.
So a manzanilla has less or more flaw.
Manzanilla has more floor.
More floor.
Consequently, it's got more pungent aroma due to the yeast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it has less extract because of this strong nutrient consumption of the yeast. That, in special terms, is what I would say the difference between a fino and a manzanilla.
Okay. So it's smelling these two wines. The manzanilla has, as you say, it has a really strong, apple-y smell. It does have, whereas the fino has a lot less smell, and it smells slightly reductive to me as well. It's like got a like a smoky, minerally edge to it.
Yeah, well, it's, you're right. I mean, basically, reduction is one of those things. The funny thing is a bit about these wines is that thanks to the floor yeast, the oxygen content of the wines and the floor yeast is equal to zero.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you don't have the floor yeast, the saturation point gives oxygen levels of about 3 grams per liter. So this is it's aged without oxygen, which is quite unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. The butts aren't even filled to the top, are they? They're only about three-quarter filled.
Yeah, no, we give them a 10% vacuum so that there should be the adequate ratio surface volume to have this specific metabolism.
Mm.
Now, both these wines, as I've shown you, are wines which are 4 or 5 years old, both the Manzanilla and the Fino. So they're a good representation of what a Manzanilla and a Fino look like.
They're not as intense as some of the, like, I drink a wee bit of Tio Pepe and a few of the others, and these they're much more rounded wines. These are final products, aren't they?
Yeah.
Who are the two producers, just out of curiosity?
One is Manzanilla Solear from Barbadillo, and the other one is Fino Laína from Lustao.
Laína, is that the one with the funny woman on the bottle?
No, that's La Gitana. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay then, Bertrand, thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure.
Cheers very much.